A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
To this meeting, I'd like to greet all our internet listeners. Do not have to remind our internet listeners that they do not, in fact, have to mute their cell phones, but everybody else, please do so. With that, I'm going to ask the Secretary to call roll.
Here.
Here.
Here. I think quorum is present. Prior to getting start into our business, I would like to recognize, I believe we have a newspaper type class from Sioux Falls, I believe. If they do have a representative come up and introduce themselves and tell us why they're here.
We are from Sioux Falls, Washington, as you said, and we're here to find out about how laws are made and tell about them at Washington. So, yep.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Roush.
I think their selection of committees would indicate that they're a very intelligent group of young people.
Well reflected. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this group of young people, they have a class come up every year, and they attend for a day or so up here in the legislature. And these are the people that will, when some of you get close to being term limited, like I am, they'll be the ones that will be reporting what's going on up here in the floor. So it's good to have them here. I hope you have an enjoyable stay.
Thank you. Also, we do have two pages, I believe, with us. Could you please come up and so we can show our appreciation for all you do and identify yourself, please.
I'm Hannah Distel from Box Elder, Ellsworth, Rapid. Pick one. Really your choice.
I'm Jennifer Knock, and I'm a page from Willow Lake.
Welcome, and thank you for all you do for us. Also would like to remind anybody offering testimony this morning to please sign in, whether they're an opponent or a proponent to any bill that we do have. One final reminder, any questions that would come from the audience or through this body up here, please direct all questions through the chair. With that, we do have four bills. We will right now, Representative Browns.
I move we approve the minutes.
Motion by Representative Rounds. We had a second from, thank you, Representative Ferricks. Questions, discussion on approval of minutes. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Did not believe so. Motion carried. Minutes are approved. With that, we do have four bills. We'll begin taking proponent testimony on House Bill 1117 to permit water use districts to provide certain health and life insurance benefits. I do believe we have the Honorable Representative Van Gerpen here.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of this distinguished committee. It is a great honor to appear before you this morning with a bill that I think you'll find very easy to support and approve. And I hope you did notice that when the young man introduced himself from the press, or our young people over here, he was looking for a place where a law is made, and so this will give him the opportunity and them to observe how a law is made. House Bill 1117 comes to us to, it's as optional or as completely permissive piece of legislation. Now, what we're trying to do is to get it codified that those folks who serve as members on the boards of water districts across our state, I think there's probably about half a dozen of those. As you know, these are citizens who put in a lot of time to ensure that our water use is done properly and to do an excellent job doing that. And oftentimes the pay, the salaries are not that high. And So it's been discussed that it might help us in recruiting good folks, as we already have in many of these positions, to keep them filled with good people, to have a health insurance plan, a group dental insurance plan, or both, for the board of the directors, and also a group life insurance plan and a group disability income insurance plan. Now, please note that this is completely permissive legislation. These folks will, the board of directors will vote on these options if they feel that it would be appropriate for their particular board. It does not require the water user districts to supply the group health insurance for the board of directors, nor would it require that those districts pay for such coverage. It only sets up a statutory mechanism in the South Dakota Code allowing water districts the ability to explore the feasibility of these types of programs. And I would ask for your favorable support to provide our board of directors this option on House Bill 1117. I would stand by for questions, and I'll turn the mic over to Mr. Drew Duncan, who will provide more insight into this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Van Gerpen. Are there additional proponents to House Bill 1117? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you, Representative Van Gerpen. My name is Drew Duncan. I'm an attorney from Sioux Falls and the registered lobbyist for BY Water User District, which is located about 10 miles west of Yankton, South Dakota. BY provides safe, reliable drinking water for around 82,000 people in the counties of Yankton, Bonham, Turner, Hutchinson, and Douglas counties, and also provides wholesale water for the city of Mitchell. As a bit of a background, water user districts are creatures of statute. The state of South Dakota, as Representative Van Gerpen said, has six such districts that operate across the state. The authorization for the formation and operation of water user districts is located in Section 46.9A of the code. Generally speaking, as water user districts and as creatures of statutes, they need authorization from the legislature in order to operate their day-to-day operations, and they only have the power to operate within the confines set by the code. Water user districts operate, as a little bit of a background, water user districts operate a little bit separately and a little differently from regular nonprofit rural water groups. While water user districts are creatures of statute, other nonprofit rural water districts usually formed as 501c3s. Water user districts are given such powers such as eminent domain, while nonprofits don't have that those powers. The organizations have a little bit different requirements for bid process, with water user districts having to abide by the requirements that the legislature has set in the code. Neither have the power to levy any taxes. And I give you that information only for background only, and because from time to time it's tough to differentiate between the two. As Representative Van Gerpen said, BY Water District would like the ability to explore the possibility of getting their board of directors health insurance or dental insurance or both. And they'd like to include them in the group health plan they provide to their employees. The code is currently quiet on whether they can perform such an act. BY feels that it's the safest measure to get legislative authorization to explore such possibilities, so if they find that it's economically feasible, they can move forward. The bill before you, as Representative Van Gerpen said, is completely permissive. It does require water user districts to pay for health insurance. Excuse me, it does not require water user districts to pay for health insurance for the board of directors, and it doesn't require them to supply it. It only gives them the option to explore the idea and move forward on it if they think it's feasible. A water user district would have the ability to get group health insurance and pay for it if this act is passed. They would have the ability to have a cost sharing agreement with the directors. They could pay for it themselves, they being the directors, or the water user district could say that they'll pay for the board of directors insurance. The obvious question that springs forward, and one I've heard from some of you as we've talked about this, is if this is passed, is there going to be an additional cost to ratepayers? For that question, I have a few answers. One, the whole board, BY's board is 13 members. The whole board would not conceivably take part There are some members that are over the age of 65. They obviously have health insurance already. There are some board of directors, members of the board of directors who have insurance privately through their spouses or otherwise, and it just wouldn't be feasible for them to move. And no member of the board of directors would be obligated to take part as I've drafted the statute. Second, with regard to BY, and I can only speak to BY, BY is an extremely healthy water user district. They assure me that there will be no effect on water user on the rates of the on the rate payers on the cost of their actual water service, and that they would not be exploring the idea if they did. Included in that, I'm not going to act as though I'm an accountant or someone who's taken a long time in exploring the finances of BY, but what I'm told on a broad picture basis is that BY's, and I'm only using them as an example because they're my client, their assets are at least a few million dollars greater than their expenses. But that, if you would look at the DENR numbers, that would be a little skewed by the fact that those numbers include loans taken from the federal government and expenses to pay back those loans. I'm only telling you those numbers based on what they actually take in and what they actually pay out. The third issue, the third answer to the question is, if it wouldn't be economically feasible to put their board members on a group health policy and pay for it, and the ratepayers, and this was passed, and ratepayers found that this was not a smart or adequate use of water user district money. They operate, water user districts operate in just the same way as does the legislature. They can, ratepayers can, at the next board of directors meeting, can vote out the rate or the board of directors that have agreed to do this in one form or another, and they are, just as you are, absolutely beholden to their ratepayers, in your case, your constituents. From talking to a few of you, the question was raised whether, you know, this would make a position on the Water User District Board very desirable, whether that would be a positive or a negative. Let me tell you why I think it would be a positive in two separate respects. One, if this added incentive is put forth and it made running for the water board of directors for Water User District more desirable, we'd be getting more qualified applicants. Not to say we don't have very qualified applicants now, but we do. But we'd be expanding the pool of very qualified applicants, so that that would in turn be a good turn for the average ratepayer. And the other thing we're doing, we talk a lot about making sure that adequate population, parts of our population, are have access to health insurance. Although it would be on a very small measure, this would also provide us some another avenue for people to get a chance for get on a group health plan. With that, as I mentioned before, this is a completely permissive bill. It would only allow a water user district to purchase health insurance for their board of directors if they authorized it. It wouldn't require it. I'd ask you to support House Bill 1117. I'd stand by for any questions. The Division of Insurance also has a very friendly amendment. The friendly amendment would clarify that a water user district couldn't form a self-funded plan, and I hope I'm doing that justice. And at the requisite time, I'd ask someone if they saw fit to move that forward. Thank you, and I'll stand by for questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Are there additional proponents to House Bill 1117? We don't have any other representatives signed up for proponent testimony on that. I do not see any opposition to House Bill 1117, but I will in fact ask if there are opponents to House Bill 1117. Any opponents? Going once, going twice? With that, I guess we can certainly reserve any rebuttal, but I will at this time turn it over to any committee questions that there might be on House Bill 1117. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a question for Mr. Duncan. And good morning, Mr. Duncan. I did sign on to this bill, and I do support it because it is permissive, and it does allow the water districts to provide another service to their board members. My question is, and you may have covered it in your testimony, how many years are these board members elected for a term?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rounds, much like most boards, and I'm not going to claim to know the inner workings for positive on a BY election, although I've taken part in one once. They're 13 board members. They have staggered terms, which means they aren't all elected in the same year. All 13 aren't up for election in the same year. I believe some terms are 2 years, and other terms are 3 years. And I'm not positive, but there may even be year-to-year terms, although I'm not positive. So that this, to answer your question, are there staggered terms, I believe, in 2 and 3 year increments.
Okay, Mr. Chair, follow-up. And this would be permissive, so they would set up their own boundaries as to a board member electing to take the coverage, but once they are voted out or retire from the board, they will no longer carry. Is that something that the board will set up on their own with their own parameters?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rounds, I don't see anything in the drafting of the bill that I put together or that the LRC helped me with that would allow BY Water District to pay, or any water district, to pay for insurance for either a retired or someone who isn't on the board anymore. And that certainly wasn't the intent here.
Thank you, Representative Rounds. Additional committee questions?
Mr. Chairman, the LRC also gave me the amendment. If we could get that passed out.
Yeah, well, we'll deal with it. Representative Kurd?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Mr. Duncan. Mr. Chair, a question is, with the wide range and variety of health care plans that are available and also group life insurance with no limitations placed on the amount of group life that can be purchased here that I can ascertain, my question would be, what is or is there a proposed protective mechanism for the water bill payers to ensure that the board of directors did not run out of control with their purchasing of either the health insurance or group life plan?
Mr. Chairman, that's Representative Kerr, that's a great question. And as I explained earlier, the mechanism is simply much like yours. If your constituents don't like the laws you're passing, they can vote you out. The same holds true for ratepayers with water user districts. If a board of directors would decide to get themselves health insurance and they put 2 or 3 more people on there, or 4 or 5 more people on there, and that provided for an extreme added expense, the ratepayers could simply vote those board of directors out, pass new or have new board of directors put on there, run new people for the board, have those people elected, and that decision could be changed at, I would assume, the next board meeting. The answer to your question is there's no financial mechanism in the bill that would cap the amount that a water user district could pay for the insurance. And as another note, there's no requirement in the bill that says if a water user district would put in place this group health plan would include their board of directors on their group health plan, that they wouldn't make their board of directors actually pay their share of the coverage. There's nothing in the statute that wouldn't allow them to do that. Just because this bill was to be passed or doesn't mean that the board of directors would have to allow for a group health plan and then in turn would have to also pay for it with board funds.
Representative Kurd, are you good with that question, or you got a follow-up for that?
I just wanted to confirm with you that the only mechanism that the people that actually pay the fees really have to place any kind of control over the expenditure of the dollars that they've paid into the water district are through the voting mechanism, and that might not come for some period of time after they've already started paying the bill for it. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kurt, that is correct. But just to draw an analogy, that would be also the same as any other decision they make on expenditures. Any expenditure they make, if a ratepayer was unhappy about it, they would have to wait till the next board of director election to take care of that, or to vote out those board of directors.
Thank you. Representative Romkamo.
Mr. Chair, are we setting a precedent by allowing this? I sit on several boards, and none to my knowledge offer health insurance or life insurance. I'm curious.
Mr. Chair, Representative Romkamo, no, you're not setting a precedent. And let me tell you, I kind of figured that question was coming. So I talked to telephone co-ops, the Rural Water Association, the electric co-ops, and although I don't want to speak specifically to county commissions, I think I do have an understanding of how a few work. Telephone cooperatives at one time, or maybe still, and I don't know about all of them, are paying for health insurance for their board of directors. They have a national health plan, and there's a long, complicated story behind that that I'm not that up to date on. Electric cooperatives do not need legislative approval in order to do that. They used to. I'm told that mostly all of them used to provide health insurance, and they don't all do that anymore because of the cost. I don't know how many still do and how many still don't. County commissions, in some respects, still do. Some county commissions still do.
Representative Romko, follow-up?
No.
Representative Roush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is not really a question, but a clarification. Representative Round asked the term limits. They're three-year terms for all members. In the organization stage, so they could stagger them, they elected them in three groups, a one-year, a two-year, and a three-year term. So they're all three-year terms.
Yeah, that sounds right, Representative Rounds. And I apologize for not knowing. I should have.
Thank you, Representative Ross. Additional committee questions? Representative Cronin.
Yeah, there's nothing in the language here that stops the water district from paying for the supplemental of someone over the age of 65, paying their Medicaid supplement. Is that addressed in here? I mean, someone there could cancel their personal health insurance and then have these guys pick up their supplemental from the way it looks here.
Mr. Chairman, that's a great question, but I don't think that the statute allows for that to happen, no. And that certainly wasn't the intent, Representative Cronin.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
My question goes back to the setting a precedent. Curiosity about sanitary sewer districts or a fire district, would it be, of course, fire districts in the most part, I don't know what their board setups are, but I just wonder how that could be led into some of those other situations.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, if you'd like to ask, it's kind of a speculative question, but if you have the courage to answer that, go right ahead.
Well, no, I don't have the courage, and I was actually my answer was actually going to be I don't know. I can't, and the chair put it correctly, I can't speculate as to whether this will bleed into sanitary sewer districts or fire protection districts. I'm not really familiar with the code sections on those, and I don't know how they're set up as much as I do water user districts, and I apologize.
Representative Feikert, follow-up?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Additional committee questions? Representative Bullen.
Yes. I'm curious about the recruitment. You said this would be used as a tool to recruit people onto the water board. What is the situation now? Do you have contested elections at the present time, or is your pool very, very small?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that I said it would be a tool, but I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think the more qualified the applicant, the better the board. And if this allows, if this would allow as a tool for getting more qualified people on the board, I think that's a positive, very much positive. And to your other question, whether there's been contested elections, I can tell you for one reason or another, there are contested elections for water user districts. They're not always because of the pay, because the pay is not much. The pay currently is $120 a meeting, and that's below what I'm told electric cooperatives, telephone cooperatives, and rural water districts, the nonprofits, are getting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Additional, any heart-burning questions at this time? Yes, go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, it's not heartburning, but it is a curiosity question. How often does the board meet, and when do they meet?
Mr. Chairman, they have monthly meetings. BY Water District, I'm not their attorney. I've only been hired to help them with governmental affairs. Frankly, I don't know what day of the month they meet.
Representative Solberg, are you content on that answer?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Solberg, I could certainly find out for you.
Very good committee discussion and questions on this. I am seeking right now, there was an amendment distributed on this. Representative Browns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move Amendment 1117-TA.
That motion to move the amendment by Representative Rounds, second by Representative Roush. Discussion, Representative Rounds.
Mr. Chair, I believe that during the testimony we heard the discussion on this. I think it needs to, it's put in for a specific reason to make sure that the intent of this bill is followed. So I would recommend passage of the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Roush, any follow-up on your second? This board, any questions, concerns, comments on that motion to amend House Bill 1117? If not, it is a voice vote, and I would ask for a vote at this time. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 1117 is, in fact, amended right now. I would ask for any committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1117 as amended.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. I had a motion by my distinguished seatmate and a second by Solberg. By Solberg. Comments on that motion? Representative Browns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we heard in the testimony today that this is, number one, permissive. And this is a water district where the ratepayers are the people who will vote for those that are on the board. And if they choose or so desire to allow coverage for their board members, I think that should be up to the board members and the ratepayers themselves. I do believe that this is an option we heard in the testimony. It may recruit additional people to run, although I do know that these water boards have very competitive races. There's a lot of interest to be on these boards, so this might be another tool. If it's needed or not, I don't know. But it gets down to the choice of the board itself. And if the ratepayers in this water district do not like the decisions made by the board, just like up here in the legislature, ladies and gentlemen, we can be voted out, they can be voted out. So I think we should allow them this permissive language. I think we should do pass House Bill 1117. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Browns. The motion is to move for approval House Bill 1117 as amended. I will ask for a vote at this time, and the secretary will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
House Bill 1117. Representative Rounds.
No. Denied.
Denied. Good try, Representative Rounds. House Bill will move to the floor with the due pass motion as amended. I think that we do have it. Yes. Yeah, we do have it. Absolutely. Thank you. Next, we do have House Bill 1119, an act to require background checks for persons seeking employment with municipalities. I do believe that we have the distinguished Senator Teason to offer some proponent testimony on House Bill 1119. Clarification, Representative Roush wants a little clarification because I did introduce Senator Teason as the distinguished senator, and yes, in fact, it is a little loyalty because he is from Rapid City.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Ma, you have big committees over here in the House. Craig Teason, Senator, District 34 in Rapid City. Here this morning to talk about a bill to allow municipalities to conduct background investigations on key sensitive municipal positions. I emphasize the word permissive, unlike the title may infer. This doesn't require that this be done. This allows municipalities the opportunity to do this. Let me give you just a real brief background on backgrounds based on my 32 years of law enforcement experience. When I started in law enforcement, when you wanted to do a background, say on maybe the background that was done on me before I became a police officer, you went to the Rapid City Police Department and looked through 3x5 cards, one card for each person, and you pulled the card for Craig Teason and determined what kind of law and police background they had. And then if you wanted to call Sturgis, they would do the same thing for you. And other places, and that's how you did a background check. Eventually along came technology, and what we have seen on television for a long time actually eventually became possible for law enforcement to do. Now we have the opportunity not only to electronically get a background check from the state, we also in fairly recent time have the ability to access a federal FBI database to do backgrounds. There are sensitive municipal employee positions that would be applicable to backgrounds of this type, perhaps lifeguards, perhaps employees that enter people's houses, maybe librarians that run children's programs. Those kinds of decisions will be made by the municipalities, but they could in fact determine that a background investigation was appropriate before hiring this position. And this legislation would allow access to the federal database. Obviously, the FBI closely guards their database, and they require that states have enabling legislation that allows municipalities to access this database so that they can do those background investigations on those key positions. The wording in this legislation has been carefully tailored. It has been approved by Department of Justice, and so we would ask your support to permit municipalities, if they choose, to have this ability to run backgrounds. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely, Senator Teason. Thank you. Are there additional proponents to House Bill 1119?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. Do not care to be repetitive. Senator Teason has covered most of this very thoroughly. I can tell you that cities would not do these background checks for every prospective employee. They would have it laid out in their human resources manual, which positions were considered to be sensitive enough that they required this kind of a background check. There is a charge for these background checks. We pay $20 to the state to do the state one, and it would be $19.25 to do the federal background check. Both would be submitted through DCI, and then information would be returned back through DCI. The Department of Justice has pre-approved this language, and I believe we have the cooperation of DCI on it also. And with that, I would be just happy to stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Any other additional proponents to House Bill 1119? I do not see any on my list. Additional proponents. How about opponents to House Bill 1119? Again, I do not have any registered speaking against House Bill 1119. going once, going twice. Committee discussion, both proponents and opponents, is complete at this time, and we'll turn it over to this body for committee discussion and or questions. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question of Ms. Taylor. And thank you, Ms. Taylor. I do like the comments by our good senator when he said this bill was tailored very well. I had visited with you.
All right, let's give him some latitude. We do have to chuckle. Representative Rounds actually had a little sense of humor over there.
Just a little. We had talked previously on this bill, and my concern, I just wanted to, in the era of open government, I always have a fear that a background check or personal information like this could slip out or be available to somebody. I just want to make sure that a prospective employee, that this will protect this private information, that there's some language someplace that will protect the employee from having this record distributed someplace.
Mr. Chairman, uniformly, personnel records are protected. They are not open records, and I don't believe even the most zealous advocates of openness would ever propose opening personnel records.
Thank you. Additional committee questions? Representative Bromkamer.
Question for Senator Teason, please. Senator, you'd indicated this was permissive legislation. The first sentence or line one says enact to require background checks. Could you clarify, Mr. Chair?
The clarification is I think the title is erroneous. It is permissive legislation. It's it clearly states that in the bill. The only requirement would correct. Be obviously that the prospective employee would be required to submit to this. It wouldn't be would no longer be an applicant, but it is entirely permissive for the municipality to correct. Determine which and if any employees would this would be necessary for.
Thank you.
Thank you. Additional questions from this committee? Thank you, Senator Teason. I'll now turn it over to committee discussion and or action. Representative Rounds.
Second.
Motion Representative Rounds do pass. Second by Representative Curd. Discussion on that motion, Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In reviewing this piece of legislation, it is clearly discretionary. Line 5 of the bill, subject to discretion of the municipality. I think that pretty much allows the municipality some flexibility. I think in today's age, we have the tools to do the background check. I think it's important with certain positions within the municipality, city government, that we have a background check in some of these employees. I think we heard that in the testimony today. I think it's a good bill. I'd ask for your approval in moving 1119 to the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional comments, discussion on the motion to approve House Bill 1119. Thank you. Do pass. Representative Roush.
Just a follow-up with that, I think in this day and age with the technology we have and some of the situations in which our employees are asked to serve, I think it would be a mistake for us not to have this available to the municipalities to go through this. It can save a lot of hardship in the future if we had the wrong person in the wrong position, and we could have prevented it by a simple background check. So I too would ask for your support of House Bill 1119.
Thank you, Representative Roush. Additional comments on that motion do pass on House Bill 1119. Hearing none, we will in fact vote on the approval to move this to the floor. Do pass House Bill 1119. Secretary, we'll call the roll.
Aye.
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 1119 receives the necessary votes to send it to the floor to pass. Representative Roush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move a title amendment. In the first line would be to remove the word require and to insert the word permit.
Second.
Motion by Representative Roush for that title amendment. It was seconded by Representative Kurd. Representative Roush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know we're requiring the employees to submit to it, but it's permissive for the municipalities, and I think it's a more accurate title for what we're asking them to do or allowing them to do.
Thank you, Representative Roush. Representative Kurd, any?
I agree.
That'll work. Motion to change the title of this bill. That is a voice vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Title is amended. Representative Kurd.
Move consent.
We'll move to the House floor. Title amended, do pass. No, we have it. Next, we do have House Bill 1136, an act to repeal certain provisions relating to the purchase of private water lines. Any proponents to House Bill 1136? And we are so pleased to have Representative Bruner here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and distinguished committee. I'm Representative Tom Bruner, District 29. I bring before you today 1136, House Bill 1136, an act to repeal certain provisions relating to the purchase of private water lines. If the young students enjoyed watching a bill being made, perhaps they will enjoy watching a bill being erased. That is our goal here today, with your pleasure. These two sections of law authorize municipalities to purchase private water lines and mains, but when you read them together, they limit the price the city can pay to no more than the actual cost at the time it was constructed, thus a reasonable allowance for depreciation since the original installation. This simply does not allow the city to pay a fair price when they buy a line, so we're asking that these sections be repealed. There's adequate authority elsewhere in the law to allow a city to purchase these lines, but they need to be able to negotiate a fair price.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Bruner. Are there additional proponents to House Bill 1136?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. And again, I don't wish to be repetitive. We are simply seeking to remove the limit on what we can pay because we are frankly not allowed to pay a fair price when we purchase these water lines. This is a very rare circumstance. Belle Fouche ran into this. I don't know of any other community that has. I think it is an old law that was based on when cities were starting to form and starting to put together their systems. We do have adequate authority in other code, in other statutes, and in particular it is under 941, where we have the power to purchase, construct, or otherwise acquire, establish, equip, maintain, operate, extend, or improve any system or part of a system of waterworks. And so we have adequate authority to purchase, and we simply need you to remove the limit on what we can pay so that we can pay a fair price.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Additional proponents, House Bill 1136. Additional proponents to House Bill 1136. Hearing none, I will ask for opponents to House Bill 1136. I do not have any documented, but I certainly am asking again, opponents to House Bill 1136. Hearing none, I will turn it over to this committee for committee questions. Any questions on House Bill 1136? Any action that this committee would entertain on House Bill 1136, Representative Roush?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on 1136.
Second.
Motion due pass, Representative Roush. Second by Representative Rounds. Representative Roush.
To not be repetitive, I would just echo what the testimony was, and I think it's a good move, and I think we should move forward.
Thank you. We have motion to pass House Bill 1136. Any other questions, concerns, comments from this committee at this time on do pass motion 1136? Hearing none, Secretary will call a roll.
Aye.
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 House Bill 1136, having received the necessary votes, is hereby approved. Pass to pass. Motion to move consent. Second. Any opposition to put House Bill 1136 on consent calendar? Representative Kurd, second, I believe. Representative Rounds is a squeaker. House Bill 1136 will move to the floor. All those in favor moving this consent?
Aye.
Any opposition? Again, another squeaker. It is on the consent calendar. Next, we have House Bill 1139, an act to repeal certain obsolete provisions relating to the discontinuance of county homes. Any proponents? We do have Representative Ingalls. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Representative Rich Ingalls from Hartford. And I offer today House Bill 1139, an act to repeal certain obsolete provisions relating to the discontinuance of county homes. County poor homes are, I believe, a thing of the past, a creation of the Depression that carried on for some time after that, but no longer exist in South Dakota. In fact, we have previously repealed the ability of counties to acquire poor homes, so counties will not be getting into that business again unless we create some new legislation there. But I do believe that there's still some property that was once county home property, which is now in the control of the counties. And by repealing this bill, what we're doing is we're allowing we're removing the shackles from the counties and allowing them to use the proceeds of any of that property in any way that the county would see fit. So it's a local control issue, and it's a very limited issue because I don't believe that there's a whole lot of that property remaining, but I know that there is some. So I ask for your support for this bill, and I ask for your consent for this bill, too, if you should seek that.
Thank you, Representative Ingalls. Additional proponents to House Bill 1139. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Ken McFarland, and I'm the administrative assistant for the Minnehaha County Commission. And I would just echo some of the remarks of Representative Ingalls. Minnehaha County actually got rid of its poor farm back in the 1980s, early 1980s. And so many of our duties that we handle for the indigent poor are done in much more effective means now than the old county poor farm statutes. This is the last remaining section of that chapter, and we can't see any reason why it shouldn't go the way of the previous 13 sections of the chapter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McFarland. Any other additional proponents, House Bill 1139? Good morning, Mr. Wilcox.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association. We as well would like to thank Representative Ingalls for cleaning up some statutes that are certainly obsolete, and we certainly don't have a problem with this, and we encourage your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional proponents, House Bill 1139. Additional proponents. Hearing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1139? I do not have any registered. Any opponents, House Bill 1139? Hearing none, I will turn it over to committee discussion, action, and or Representative Roush.
I move due pass 1139.
Second.
Second by Representative Frerichs. Easy for you to say, Representative Roush, you good to go?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just a comment would be I like the idea of one cleaning the code, and I thank Representative Ingalls for bringing that. The second part is I like lifting restrictions on our local government entities to allow them to have more flexibility with their properties. So I think it's good on a couple of fronts.
Thank you. Additional comments, discussion on that motion do pass House Bill 1139. Hearing none, Secretary will call the roll.
Boland.
Aye.
Aye.
It's hereby declared passed. Representative Roush.
I move consent.
Any motion is second. Move consent. House Bill 1139. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? House Bill 1139 will move to the floor on consent calendar. I honestly believe we were able to pass four bills in less than an hour. Good, efficient use of government. Remind this committee that next Tuesday we will have a couple of other than easy, fluffery type bills. I do believe we have a couple of the fluffery ones in the past. Now, get into some substance, and I think they will revolve an awful lot of opponent testimony. So they are docked, and we'll let you know. Any other thing to come before the House Local Government Committee? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Have a good day.